This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The U.S. and Belgium have important relations as NATO allies and as trade partners. Now the Belgian ambassador to the U.S. is highlighting that relationship as he makes his first trip to Cincinnati. Ambassador Jean-Arthur Regebot joins me now to talk about the importance of his visit and what he'll be doing while he's in town. Welcome, Mr. Ambassador.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. As I mentioned, Mr. Ambassador, I understand this is your first visit to Cincinnati. Tell us what brings you to town and why the trip was important for you to make.
Well, as ambassadors, we are all based in Washington, D.C., and it's important for us to know much more about the U.S., which is the size of a continent, right? And so we are encouraged to visit as many of the states as we can, and there are good reasons for that. First, we have to understand what the U.S. really is beyond Washington, and we also want to support the development of economic ties between our country and the United States, and there is plenty in both directions.
Mm. And I understand you met with Mayor Aftab Pureval earlier today. You're going to be meeting with Ohio Governor Mike DeWine later in the day. Talk with us about the importance of forging those relationships. Why is it important to have those meetings, those conversations with people in those positions?
Well, you know, American domestic politics have a big influence worldwide. It's not just about the U.S. And so it's very important for us to understand the dynamic, what lives in the country for American citizens, what the issues are, and we can also present our own views. So it's part of a totally friendly and democratic dialogue.
Wonderful. As I'm sure you're aware, President Joe Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy have been trying to broker a deal to raise the country's debt ceiling. How big a concern is the threat of default to the world economy? We talk a lot about what it could mean within the U.S., but this could have ramifications well beyond our borders, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But to be frank with you, as an ambassador and a political scientist, I think this is more to do with political theater on both sides. We do have the same type of debate in Belgium, but we also have an original solution. So if there is no agreement in Parliament, then we just take over the budget from the previous year, and the government is not able to take any new initiative, which is a strong incentive to find a solution.
Oh, it sounds like an idea maybe Capitol Hill could consider, huh? Yeah. Well, thank you. Both the U.S. and Belgium have supported Ukraine in its defense against Russia. Belgium is so much closer to this conflict than we are in the U.S. How big a threat to the European continent is Russia's war in Ukraine?
Well, we believe it's an existential threat. If you want to change borders through the use of force, we simply cannot accept it. And that's why our hearts, but also our means, are in total support of Ukraine. We want them to be able to resist. And, you know, as a country, Belgium, which has been invaded twice in the 20th century by a larger neighboring empire, we really know what it means.
Sure. Well, and before we started the show, you mentioned to me that you've been an ambassador in Moscow, too. So you have a very interesting perspective on this that most of us don't have. When you hear things coming out of Moscow, when you hear what Vladimir Putin is saying about this war, what do you make of it? How do you interpret the news that you hear about the war?
So we're trying to understand Russian realities. They're a bit different from ours. After 4 years in Moscow, I can say that we can easily relate to Russian citizens, but it's much more difficult to relate to Russian politics. On our side, with liberal democracies, really power has to be controlled by the people, by parliament. In Russia, political realities are totally different. It's heavily centralized. The leader decides about everything. And it's almost as if the citizens are educated to serve the state. So it's a totally different planet.
Interesting. I want to remind our listeners that we're talking with Ambassador Jean-Arthur Regebot, the Belgian ambassador to the U.S., about his visit to Cincinnati. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. www.ukrainepodcast.org. At the top of our conversation, I mentioned, obviously, that we, the U.S. and Belgium, have this very important political relationship, but also a very important business relationship. And I'm told that Procter & Gamble is Ohio's largest investor in Belgium, and that you're having some conversations with folks at Procter & Gamble while you're here. How important is the company's presence in Belgium?
Well, we welcome all American investment in Belgium. Actually, the U.S. is the largest foreign investor. We have many European headquarters for many multinationals from the U.S. But what I want to emphasize, and which is less well known, is that Belgian companies invest as much in terms of dollar money in the United States. And the largest Belgian investor here in the region that I will visit tomorrow is the company De Koning.
And what, tell us more about that company.
So it's fabricating frame, window frames, employs more than 700 people. And really, it's their base here in, on the U.S. market.
Oh, interesting. Well, because I understand P&G has, what, about 1,000 employees in Belgium?
I don't know the exact number, okay. But you know, P&G is a worldwide company. Mm-hmm. And so it's, it is welcome. The amount of investment, U.S. investment in Belgium is above $60 billion. But we invest as much in the United States.
Oh, fascinating. Well, and you mentioned the Belgian companies that have operations here in Greater Cincinnati. You'll be visiting with the largest, but there are a number of them just here in our region. What's your understanding of why these companies find Greater Cincinnati or the Tri-State a good place to do business?
Well, this I will be able to tell you after I meet with them tomorrow. But the main reason we are here is that, you know, in Belgium, we are familiar with Basque Coast, East Coast, West Coast, a bit with Chicago because it's a worldwide name, much less about Cincinnati and Ohio. And really, the reason for this trip is to get used to what's living here and to listen to companies about their own experience in the region so that we are also in a position to develop economic ties.
That makes sense. That makes sense. You'll be speaking tonight at the European American Chamber of Commerce's annual gala later this evening, after certainly after our interview. What's the message that you hope to convey? What do you really want the people in the audience to know and about Belgium, about this relationship the United States has with Belgium that you'll be talking about?
So Belgian foreign policy is based on two pillars. First is European integration, the European Union. We are a founding father. We'll have the EU presidency next year for 6 months. And that's really about developing the economy, but also having a fair dialogue with the United States. We sometimes have different views on trade, etc. But there is a genuine willingness on both sides to find compromise. The second pillar is NATO. It's about our hard security, and the U.S. is simply the indispensable partner. And so it's always good to exchange with Americans. We do sometimes have diverging views, but what is great is that as good Democrats, I think that we can always exchange, listen to each other, and find a common solutions because we know it's the best thing to do for both of us.
Mm. In our country, there's a lot of talk about division. You know, our national politics have been so much more divisive in recent years. I mean, they're always divisive to some degree, but the last few years have been a little bit off the charts. There have been huge political shifts happening in Europe, too, in many countries with more extreme positions on the right and left. You know, as an ambassador, you have to kind of make sense of all this in the world from where you are now in the United States, but home in Belgium. What do you think? Do you have thoughts about what's going on here, what these trends are that we're seeing in terms of political division across the globe?
So I come from a country that is also fairly divided, but we have 12 parties in parliament.
Oh, wow.
And actually, we have a lot of debates, sometimes hot debates. Sometimes it takes quite a time before we find a solution. But there is really a culture of compromise. We understand that there should be no big winner or big loser, and that when we find a solution, there are only winners on all sides. Actually, if we could not find a coalition, a compromise, the country would simply stop to exist, and it's not in nobody's interest. And so what we convey to our American friends is, you know, the advantage of seeing a compromise, and we hope that we can support it here in the country as well.
What do you think is at the foundation of that ability to compromise or that need to compromise or that instinct to compromise in Belgium? Is it the fact that you do have so many parties? What's at the root of that culturally?
I would say that in Belgium overall, we do have our political and economic issues, but we have a good life, generally speaking. We know also the strengths of European integration. We do have administrative borders, but actually, if you drive in a car, you're on a train, you don't even notice you're going through a border to a different country with a different culture, different language. And we have been a trading nation forever. So for us, it's just natural to reach out to our neighbors and further around the globe.
Yeah.
And we've been also liberated thanks to the help and support of American soldiers, both in World War I, but mainly in World War II. And so many of the big battles where American soldiers were involved, like Flanders Field or the Battle of the Bulge, actually took place on Belgian territory. And we acknowledge this very important relationship.
Yeah. That relationship, as I mentioned at the top, is so strong in so many ways, politically, economically. How difficult is it when you've got a strong relationship like that to kind of give gentle advice, maybe, or on the economic side to deal with in the EU or different countries, the things that American companies might be doing that you don't like so much? I think of what's been happening with social media companies and some of the EU regulations and discussions around that are different in Europe versus the US?
I think there are two different aspects. First, for all of us in the European Union, the United States is the partner of choice because we have so much in common. And also, it's great to have a conversation with Americans. Even when we differ, we listen to each other and we can come to joint solution, which is good. Now, on the other side, for example, when it comes to trade issues, we do have different views. But our strategy then is to unite as the European Union. We represent a market and a political entity with 450 million people. We are a large market. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, indeed, we do have to send a message to American social media or other companies that we have our own ways, for example, to protect data privacy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, what you mentioned this speech, that what your message will be during this speech to the European American Chamber. What are the big things you're hoping to learn yourself from your visit here? What takeaways would you like to take with you before you go back to D.C.?
I would say first in domestic politics, we try to understand what the major issues are, what motivates voters, what motivates companies and all stakeholders in American society. And on the second pillar, foreign policy, we try to understand what's the position of the average Joe in the U.S. about Russia, Ukraine, about China, what's their vision on Europe, how far we can cooperate or how we should cooperate. That's very valuable to us.
Well, this has been fascinating. I've been talking with Ambassador Jean-Arthur Rejabeau, Belgium's ambassador to the United States. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Up next, we'll highlight some art exhibits for AAPI Heritage Month. This is Cincinnati Edition.